Blog Talk Radio.
YA, it's not just for young adults anymore. Anyone who reads it knows that most YA is timeless and ageless, and not to mention, it is good for people who have short attention spans. Celebrating coming-of-age stories, YAA celebrates all ages, genders, and genres. Join us as we shout YAA.
Hello and welcome to this month's episode of YAA. I'm your host, Jeff Adams, and we're going to break some format here today. Usually we talk about YA fiction, but today we're going to take a nonfiction turn and focus on a book that I think would be great for a read from anybody who reads the YA genre. For my guest today, I've got Jeff Shang. He is an American artist whose photography work over the last decade has been focusing on the LGBT rights movement, and his project Fearless is a series of photographs that he began back in 2003 of LGBT high school and college student athletes. And he's just released a book, a beautiful coffee table book, with these photos, as well as his personal story, the story of the project, and some essays from the students. And so it's my great pleasure to welcome Jeff to the show today.
Hi there. Great to be on.
Hi. It's great to have you. So in your own words, tell us a little bit about the Fearless Project and how you came to start it.
Great. Yeah, the Fearless Project, it's a photo series about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender high school and college student athletes. And I began the project actually in 2003, about 12, 13 years ago, right when I finished college. And a lot of it is because I myself was a high school athlete. I played competitive tennis growing up. And when I was struggling with my own coming out process, I actually quit sports my senior year in high school. And so I played competitive tennis, and it was a big part of my life. So when I went to college, and I finally was able to come out, I suddenly realized there was this disconnect between sort of the athletics world and the LGBT world. And so when I decided to, when I finished college and decided to become a photographer or try to become a photographer, this was the first photo project that I decided to embark on.
And what was it like approaching the first athletes? Because certainly the climate back in 2003 is very different from what we have today.
Yeah. So basically the project sort of, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was 21, 22 years old, and I just kind of had an idea. And I began just by emailing a lot of the people that I knew, friends. I did my undergrad at Harvard and lived in the Boston area right after I finished college. And so I just sort of emailed my roommates from college and said, do you know any gay or lesbian athletes who happen to come out on their college sports teams? That's sort of the original pitch that I had. And a few of them actually knew people who identified as such. And this was way back in 2003. So there weren't that many, but there were just enough in the New England area for me to start. And I met them on the weekends, and we'd do these shoots. And I wasn't really quite sure how the project would develop. And it really became kind of, it clicked when I had one of the athletes, Aaron, he was a squash player at Brown, run lines in the squash court. And he would stop in between sets. And I'd realize that that's when he was an athlete. And so I sort of took these portraits of them in between workouts. And, you know, the project just really expanded and developed. I started to include high school athletes pretty soon after I began. And then, you know, I then started including openly bisexual and transgender athletes as the series developed. In the first year of the photo project, I would say from 2003 to 2005, I photographed about 20 or so athletes. But then starting from about 2006, I started to exhibit the project at different high schools and colleges around the country. And this is where it really became sort of more of an activist project as opposed to just an art project. Student athletes who might have not been fully out at these different schools would see the work displayed in, say, their student centers or gyms and realize that the work that I was doing was going to hopefully be used to inspire other student athletes to maybe come out or be more brave about who they were. And so I would get more athletes to volunteer. And suddenly between, say, 2006 to 2008, I photographed about 50 or 60 more athletes. Today, it's got over 200 athletes. So if it gives you an idea of sort of how it began from just me and a couple of roommates wondering if we could find just a handful of out athletes this only today, where there's dozens that I hopefully will be photographing more actually to continue this year.
And I was going to ask, the project essentially is still continuing even though the book is now out.
Yeah, so the photo book, after 2012, I'd been working on the project for about 10 years, and somebody said you should really do a photography book on this. And photo books are really hard to do because, they require a lot of money, time, and someone suggested that I do a Kickstarter drive. So in the summer of 2012, I embarked on this really large Kickstarter drive. And I believe at the time it was probably one of the largest Kickstarter drives for a photography book ever done. We had raised over $50,000 to do a photo book. And, the other challenge that I had in creating this book, the one that we're sort of talking about today, is that I wanted to include all the athletes that I photographed. I also wanted to get to 200 athletes, sort of my goal at the time. In 2012, I'd only photographed maybe 130. So some of the funding that we raised, I was going to reach my goal of 200 athletes. And the other real challenge was, how do you make a book interesting that doesn't just repeat itself with photograph after photograph? And originally, I thought the book would take maybe about a year to finish, and it wound up taking 3 years of design, layout, writing. I wrote a lot of text for the book about my own coming out story. And the reason for that is because, as I mentioned earlier, this project was inspired by my own coming out story and my own experiences. So we really had to include that. And it's anyone who's ever tried to write about themselves realizes it's actually kind of hard. I must have gone through 20 different drafts of just like the first two chapters. And, finally this past year, I felt that it was close to being done, wrapped it up. And it was just released last month, finally. So I'm very, very proud of it. It's a 316-page full color, hardback, 8.5 by 11 inch book. It's a hefty book. It's like 4 pounds, and it feels like a coffee table book, but I don't like to call it that sometimes because it reads more like a memoir, you know? It's fine. Everyone calls it a coffee table book, and I don't mind, but I feel like it's more than that because, as you mentioned, you've read it and it has stories of some of the athletes. It is my story. And, I feel like there's a narrative about the book that's kind of greater than just the photographs themselves.
Yeah, and that's a very good point because you're right, the way to call it a coffee table book makes it sound like it's a bunch of pretty pictures that sit on your table and that's that. As opposed to this book that once you pick it up and start reading any particular piece of it, whether it's your story or the story of the project itself, or you dive into these student-athlete essays, or even if you're reading the margins of the book, because I think the margins of the book with your, kind of milestones in LGBT sports history, make a good read all on their own, because there's a lot of historical fact there. It really comes across as a multifaceted.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, the margins that you talk about, those are, so for the readers who haven't seen the book yet, listeners who haven't seen it, there's these timeline events, and there are these kind of captions, but they're not really captions because they don't correspond to the photographs. The book itself is in chronological order with my own story, but it actually starts with a photograph, a historical photograph of Bill Tilden, the famous tennis player, who in the 1940s, it was revealed by the media that he was attracted to men. And so the first timeline event actually talks about that. And so the way I conceived of the vision for the book, it was sort of my own personal story in the middle of all these photographs of 200 different LGBT student athletes. But that was also within this larger story of the LGBT student, of the LGBT sports movement itself. So you've got like three different elements of it, sort of society as a whole and the change that's occurring at that time. You have my own story that begins when I was born in 1980 that continues to finishing the book this past year, 35 years. So when I tell my own personal story, you have these timeline events that start to bubble up in the pages throughout, you know, the 1980s and the 1990s, you know, and by the time you get to the contemporary moments, you know, you read things, the second to last timeline event is about Caitlyn Jenner coming out as transgender, for instance. You've got moments such as Michael Sam coming out, and you start to see the kind of historical change that happens throughout history. So that was something that was really hard conceptually to pull off. And I feel really proud of the final product, because I do believe that it was pretty successful in conveying this initial vision I had about, you know, these different elements going on at once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, having been through it. I actually ended up reading it two or three times, because I'd dive into a section and read that. But then I went back and read the historical things in the margin and would come back to certain essays beyond just looking at the photographs, because it's an impressive array of photographs between, you know, men and women and the different sports and whether they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or trans. It's a nice spectrum of work. And speaking of spectrum, this is a really bad segue, but why 8 covers to the book?
Good question. So, you know, I worked with a really great design team. They're based in Brooklyn, called Isometric, and happens to be that the two men who run it are a couple, a gay male couple who also identify as immigrants and people of color. So it, you know, there was this idea throughout the creation of the book of diversity and about representation. And, you know, throughout the Fearless Project itself, I was always very keen on including as many different sports, body types, ethnicities, races, just kind of different levels, ages. I mean, the age range, even though they're all student athletes, you know, you have somebody who's 14 in high school coming out up till somebody who is 35 and coming back to school from the military, actually. So one of the oldest student athletes, actually a grad student. And, you know, the idea of diversity really started to become a challenge when we discussed covers, because I wanted a collage at first, this idea of let's do this really beautiful collage of all these different athletes. And my designers came back and they were just like, we're really sorry, Jeff, but, you know, collages don't sell. They're really hard to kind of promote because they look like catalogs and you kind of need an iconic image. And I said to them, well, the challenge about that, though, is how do we just pick one athlete, given the impressive array of athletes and voices that we have? So they came actually to me a few weeks later and said, well, we have a solution, and let us know what you think about it. And what that solution was they showed me a beautiful design, actually. It's the red cover, the one of the football player Tanner. And I looked at it, and it was a beautiful cover design. And I sort of also said, well, okay, so we pick the white, you know, cisgender male football player. You know, it looks great. You know, I'm wondering what, you know, if there was something else to this cover. And he said, actually, it's one of 8 different covers we want to create. And so what they wanted to do was create 8 different covers to represent the different athletes in the project, but also have the spine of each book represent a different color from the original 1978 Pride flag that was created by Gilbert Baker for the San Francisco Pride Parade in 1978. And I thought that was brilliant, because you have this thing where when you put all 8 books together, you actually create this 3-dimensional version of that 8-stripe LGBT Pride flag, the one that includes the colors turquoise and pink, which were eventually taken out for the flag we have now. But I thought it was a nice homage to history to reference that 8-stripe flag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So I want to let everybody know that more information about Jeff Shang's Fearless Portraits of LGBT Athletes, Student Athletes, is available on the Blog Talk Radio episode page. There's a buy link there that you can click on that to get the book. You can also check out the YA Yay page on writersonlinenetwork.com, where, again, you can find a link to purchase the book and also a link to Jeff's website for more information on him. In terms of the covers, is there one that's selling higher than the others right now, or do you see any trends in what people are picking?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really hard to predict. I mean, I think you have your standard. A lot of the people, of course, like the football player, and then, you know, there's a large contingent of the gay male population that picks Derek, the basketball player, with his shirt off. The one cover that's doing really well, surprisingly, actually it shouldn't be surprising, it's actually of Mason, the high school transgender athlete, on the yellow cover. So a little bit more about Mason. He actually petitioned his school to run on the boys' cross-country team instead of the girls' team between his freshman and sophomore years at school, in high school, and so, you know, it's in Denver, actually. So it's kind of this interesting state. It's Colorado. And I, you know, I met Mason last year, and I was just so struck by kind of Mason's presence and his ability to just be who he was and you know, wanting to run on the boys' team, not really caring what other people thought. And we went to this beautiful field where he does a lot of cross-country tournaments. And right when it was cloudy, actually, that day, but right near the end of the shoot, the sun broke out. And so the photograph itself is this gorgeous image of Mason standing among this sort of like clearing of a field with the sun shining. And, you know, Mason identifies as an athlete of color. And I was only like 15 years old when the photograph was taken. And there's just such a power to that image. And I think a lot of people have responded to that. And I was really happy to include an athlete who identifies as transgender only because I think that that's a part of the LGBT sports movement that, you know, only up until recently with Caitlyn Jenner has not been at the forefront. Incidentally, I actually signed a book of that same Mason cover book for Caitlyn the other week and sent it to her. So, you know, it's kind of nice to see that book get a lot of coverage as well. And a lot of people wanting that. Yeah.
That's an awesome story. No, I wish I had the yellow cover.
You picked, actually.
I bought the purple one because I'm a hockey player.
Oh,
so.
The purple. No, the pink one is the hockey one.
Oh, you're
the
right.
Pink one.
Pink.
Yeah, the hockey
she's
one.
In
so,
she's in a purple jersey.
Yes. She's in a purple jersey because it's Amherst College, and that's Avery. And she's now a writer for USA Today. And but at the time of that photo shoot, she, you know, this is a really fascinating story about Avery. She saw my project when she was closeted in high school, and she went to Andover Academy. And I visited there maybe in 2008 or 2009. I did an exhibition, I did an artist talk, and she didn't meet me then, she didn't come to the artist talk, but she meets me like 2 years later, 3 years later when she's actually in college and just gushes the story about how, you know, she's closeted, she's confused, she doesn't know who she is, and she sees these photographs up in her high school and sees all these other images of these out athletes and just feels just better about herself and helps with her coming out process. And so this is, I mean, this is the first time I'm meeting her, you know, when she's in college, and she's just telling me this like huge story about her life. And it dawned on me then that, you know, the project has been shown at, you know, 60, 70 different venues around the world, you know, from high schools all the way to, say, the headquarters of Nike and ESPN. So, you know, it's been seen by a lot of people in the last 7, 8, 9 years. And I never get to see or really hear who the work affects. And to have this one girl kind of come to me, or this woman in college come to me and say, you know, you changed my life in this way, really meant something to me. And we, you know, we did the photo shoot that weekend of her, because she was still playing hockey. And, you know, that's a, you know, actually all the covers are our favorites of mine. So I can't really pick any real favorite, but, you know, the one you picked, you know, it's a nice cover. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about the essays, because it's the essays, I'll be honest, that kind of made me need to have you on this show to talk about the book and to, you know, not only talk to the people who buy YA books anyway, but particularly to the core YA audience, you know, of the young people who are in high school and such. Because I was really struck by the power of those essays. The one that really drove it home for me was Matt, who's the Notre Dame tennis player,
mm-hmm.
who you know, flat out says in his that he made himself alone out of fear.
Yeah,
and that he almost took his life, but that he was lucky enough that he had friends close enough to bring him back from that. And yes. I thought you really picked, you only have five essays in there, mm-hmm. but you pick such a good cross-section of the LGBT community with that. How did you go about getting these athletes to open up on their stories, which I think is, you know, certainly a step beyond taking a picture?
Yeah, it was, so I was, you know, I was in the middle of writing, I was in the middle of putting the book together, and there were about 10 different versions of an ending for this book that just were all wrong. And the reason why they were all wrong is because, you know, I'm telling my story and I'm getting to 2012. And, you know, I've done a lot with Fearless and my life's gotten to a point, and it's really at that moment where I realized it should be about the athletes. And so I came back to my editors and designers and said, you know, I think what we should do is include the stories of the athletes. They had originally wanted me to write about the athletes, and I was doing it and it just wasn't working. And I said, no, no, no. And I pushed back and said, I think they just need to tell their stories. I know that it's going to take more work. These are college students mostly, and so their writing might not be very good and might need to really push to get great stories. Luckily, three of them had written versions of their stories for Outsports.com, and I met them through Outsports.com, the website. And so basically, I was able to kind of think through three different really diverse stories from that, which were Devin's, who he writes about his experience being an athlete of color, but also, you know, at Indiana University. So there's just a lot of, he has a lot of really mixed experiences. It's good personally, but it, for him. And then we also had Lauren Nide, who writes about her experience coming out as a lesbian swimmer. And then Matt Dooley's story, who, you know, you just mentioned, you know, actually starts with him in the hospital after his attempted suicide. And I, you know, it's so fascinating when you look at Matt. Matt's also a cover. He's the green cover for the book. And so Matt, you know, you look at him and he's in med school now. He's really good looking. He's got everything going for him. He's smart. He's really popular. And you just go, what drives somebody, you know, like that to feel like things are so hopeless that you, the only way out is to think about suicide. And I, you know, I found his story so powerful. And since then, you know, his parents have reached out to me, and his whole family and community have bought like all these books themselves, and the school has them, and it's been just really nice. Matt actually just texted me to some photographs of, I sent him some artist prints of him signed, and he showed them to me, and you know, it was just so nice to have that, you know, from where he was a few years ago to now being somebody who's so out and proud of and about who he is. So that was something that I, you know, was hoping to do, is really have their voices come through in these stories. We also have mm-hmm. Jordan, who writes about, you know, Alyssa, the purple cover, Alyssa Cielaris. She died mysteriously a few months after I photographed her. And that was in itself kind of this really weird experience for me to deal with, because I've never had somebody in a photo project of mine pass away. And I sort of had to process that. I also got to interact with her parents when the book was being developed, because, you know, I couldn't publish this book with somebody who, you know, is now no longer with us without letting the family know. And so that was challenging, only because I wasn't sure how they would respond. They've been since super wonderful to me. And it's hard sometimes because I don't really see her as gone, because the photographs always exist as just photographs. I look at them and they always seem like everyone's alive and they're well, they're somewhere in the world doing their sport or, you know, being with their friends and family. And so to think like every time I look at the purple cover, Alyssa's not with us anymore. It's a little jarring for me. But we had Jordan write about her experience as well as one of the stories.
So what's your ideal audience for this book? And what do you hope people take away from it after they've been through it?
Well, so, you know, what's funny is when we were designing the book in the first place, so the six different chapters, there's one chapter, the second chapter, that talks about my first relationship in college and how these photographs of me and my boyfriend from like 1999. And there's photographs of us together in this relationship, of us kissing and, just being together. And my designers originally actually had that chapter start the book. And it was this really different book because it was very geared towards a gay male audience. It was really geared towards maybe just an LGBT audience. And I took a step back and told them, I think this book should start with me and my childhood pictures growing up. And my designers were a little perplexed by that and said, why? And I'm like, well, I think the audience for this book isn't the LGBT community, but it's actually PFLAG parents. It's parents of the LGBT athletes. And I think the best way to get these parents engaged in the book is not through photographs of me in a gay relationship, but actually start the book with me growing up, because every parent has photographs of their LGBT child when they were born up through, the present. And so what we, envisioned was, the first portrait of me and my parents is actually the photograph they took of me, or we had taken of us right when I leave the hospital. So it's called like first family portrait. I have all these photographs of me and my brother when we were kids. I included like my first grade elementary school picture. And the reason for doing that in the first chapter is, like a lot of parents have actually reached out to me and said, I look at that first chapter and I see my own child there. I realize that it's not about them being LGBT, but it's about them being children, friends, people, basically. And, that was really the ideal audience, to really get at sort of the non-LGBT community. However, I think a large core audience that wanted to speak to as well was the LGBT community, especially the sports community, because I think a lot of athletes also resonate with some of the stories in there as well. So,
So I just want to remind people again that you can get more information about Jeff Shade's Fearless book on the Blog Talk Radio episode page. There's a buy link there that you can find on our page at www.writersonlinenetwork.com. And you'll also find a link to Jeff's own website where you can keep up with the projects that he's working on in addition to the Fearless project. So we're coming up on about 2.5 minutes left because time flies when you're talking about
it does.
Such a good book. So you mentioned earlier that the Fearless project continues and you're still photographing the athletes. What else is next for you now that you've got this book out?
Yeah, so I'm still doing photo shoots for the project. I did a few last month, and I'm doing a couple in the next few weeks. And we're actually going to start a blog, just kind of being a little more interactive about the lives of the different athletes. A lot of people have asked, like, wow, what happened to, these people that you photographed? Can we learn more about them? And so over the next month or two, we're actually going to start a blog, just kind of doing a Q&A with a lot of the athletes. We'll include new photo shoots with that as well. I'm continuing a couple other projects besides just this one that I work on. I've got a photo series on one of my big photo series that I did were on closeted military service members who were affected by the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. I've updated that to also include transgender military service members. Tomorrow morning, abcnews.com should be doing a big slideshow of that work, so look out for that. And I'm also kind of I've been starting this project photographing survivors of suicide who identify as LGBT. So basically, these are young adults who earlier in their lives attempted suicide. And this is a project kind of in its infancy. I've only done maybe about 5 photo shoots for it. And what I've been doing is I've been bringing these young adults to places of very strong emotional resonance from their childhood, essentially. And we're doing this photo shoot of them there. So those are some of the projects that I've got going on.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for spending some time this afternoon with us. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
And thanks to everyone for listening to YAA on One Radio. Please visit us at www.writersonlinenetwork.com to find out more about the show and more about the network. And we will see you next month for another episode.
Thank you.